Right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with Eels singer-songwriter E. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Steve Martin with a piece called The Crow here on Talking Animals. This is Steve Martin with a piece called The Crow, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few moments, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Mark Oliver Everett, a.k.a. the singer-songwriter of The Eels, been one of the most critically lauded bands of the last dozen years, and just released yet another highly acclaimed album, Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire, which has an underpinning of animal instinct and a werewolf motif. We'll discuss that and the animal songs, both real and metaphorical, laced throughout the Eels canon, and perhaps his semi-famous dog, Bobby Jr., when we speak of E in a few moments here on Talking Animals. First, though, as always, want to hit an animal-related news item and or announcement. This is sort of peripherally both, I guess, kind of the intersection. As you might know, we completed our brief fun drive last night. That was held some of Monday and Tuesday. But it's not too late to support WMNF. In fact, Talking Animals, which wasn't able to participate in this mini drive. But Florida Voices for Animals has been kind enough to offer a free one-year membership to everyone who donates $50 or more for Talking Animals. So here's what you do. You go to WMNF.org, find the Talking Animals tip jar, slip in $50 or more, and note that it's related to the Florida Voices for Animals offer, and you will get not only your one-year membership, but as part of that, all kinds of cool discounts. So go to floridavoicesforanimals.org/membership-benefits.aspx to find out more about that. So, I think it's time now, really, to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Richard Jenny with a little longer piece than we typically do on the Comedy Corner, but there's a method to my madness. So this is Fred Robster from Richard Jenny on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
So I'm out last night at a famous restaurant. I don't know if I could mention the name on the album. It might not be nice. It rhymes with Fred Robster. And it's a great place to go. Just don't sit next to the tank where they keep the lobsters. Very depressing. The lobsters always have that look of, any word from the governor? That's why you have to have like 4 or 5 drinks and then order. Because once you're drunk, you don't care who you send to their death in a boiling pot. Now you're drunk and they're going, can we help you? And you got that Emperor of Rome attitude. Yes. Bring me the brown one. He amuses me. The impertinent one on the right. Seize him! Have him boiled immediately. Would you like a beverage? Wine! Bring me wine! Will there be anything else? Yes, find out why all the Romans in the movies have English accents. Quickly! So sad. They're like the only... They had a sign up, the lobsters were flown in. How cruel is that? Think about that. Let's say you're a lobster, right? You've never been on an airplane before. A fair assumption. What else can you think but you've won the lobster sweepstakes? You're on a plane. Magazine, belt around the tail. Not bad. Not only am I getting a free trip, I'm earning valuable frequent lobster miles. Next thing you know, you're locked in a tank. Both your hands are tied. Everybody in the place is wearing a bib with your picture on the front of it. talk to my travel agent right away. What happened to the friendly skies, huh? And they're one of the only animals that have to put up with being alive in the restaurant. If you go to a steakhouse, folks, no cow tank. You don't see them bring a live cow. What do you think of this one, buddy? This is the best cow we got. With a baked potato, I don't think you go wrong. Say the word, I got a gun, I'll blast the crap out of him right here. This is the best cow in... Hey, put your head up. The hell's wrong with you? It's a customer. You want this job or don't you? Right, and there's the cow over there. Why don't you have the lobster? Why don't you have the lobster? And the lobster's going, why don't you mind your freaking business? The man has made his dinner selection, fat boy. Sir, if I may say so, a fine choice it was tonight. Now, thanks.
All right, that was Richard Jenny, the late great Richard Jenny, with a piece called Fred Robster, taken from his album Richard Jenny's Greatest Bits. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, E. So let me quickly outline a few things about him. As I noted earlier in the show, he's the singer-songwriter of The Eels, an enormously accomplished and acclaimed band. The Eels' new album, Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire, has generated yet another stack of laudatory reviews and has an underpinning of animal instinct and a werewolf motif. That's perhaps where we come in. We'll likely discuss that, as well as the animal songs, both real and metaphorical, laced throughout The Eels' canon. So let's welcome E to Talking Animals. Are you there, E?
Yes, hello.
Hey, cool. Thanks so much for joining us today on Talk Animals at the relatively ungodly hour for rock and roll, at least of 8:30 a.m. your time, so I appreciate it all the more.
Well, that's how much I love animals.
Okay, cool. I was hoping you were going to say that's how much you love my show. But anyway, so given that the show is animal-oriented, I thought it might be kind of interesting and fun and possibly a bit contrived to frame a conversation with you around animal ideas. And really, what better place to start than the new album, Hombre Lobo, which, of course, translates to werewolf. Werewolf serving, again, as something of a motif for the new album. Like a suite of songs about love, longing, and desire. So hooked to this, what does the werewolf element really represent to you?
Well, I'm a grown man who lives with a dog, who has his own room, and
his own MySpace, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true, too. Yeah. He has his own line of merchandise. He's quickly becoming a bigger star than I am, and I've always felt like my house was only big enough for one star, but apparently it's big enough for two, but I'm afraid he's starting to eclipse me.
Well, we'll certainly come back to more specifics on Bobby Jr., I hope. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think he's been influencing me. I guess there's sort of a competitive edge here, and I figured it's working for him, so I better start getting some sort of animal motif going on my album.
Cool. Well, so can you tell, for folks who might not have had a chance to listen or even be even read about much or hear about much Hombre Lobo, but maybe you could just tell us a little bit about how that does figure into the new album.
Well, I wanted to write songs about desire and looking at it from different angles, particularly romantic desire, and I thought a werewolf would be an interesting way to do it, because it struck me that a werewolf's life would be chiefly driven by his desires.
Yeah, for sure. But just backing up one step, was sort of the impetus to even sort of take this tack to writing sort of a swing away from the writing of the last few years, that not necessarily songwriting, but as many of our listeners know, you know, you wrote a memoir, you're involved with the documentary about your dad, et cetera. So was it kind of also like, hey, let me just take on a whole different persona that's not writing about E?
Yeah, I definitely think that all led to this. I think after spending 4 years living in the past, writing an autobiography and making a film about my father, and and even the last Eels album had a lot of autobiographical elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
Blinking Lights, the last one that came out.
Yeah.
And so I think it's only natural that you would want to get a little bit outside yourself after that.
Sure, sure. And then I guess from there, just maybe the influence again of Bobby Jr. or just other elements sort of prompted the idea of sort of setting the songs about love and longing, especially desire, in a from partly a werewolf thing. And I guess so. Also, too, it's interesting to me that the album kind of seems like there's a real, you know, narrative arc or almost a concept album, what we used to call in the older days, which in the iTunes era, digital download era, seems all the more striking. Is that, did it sort of become that as you were working on it, or was that sort of the thought to begin with?
It was always the idea from the start. It developed suddenly all at once, and I just set out to fulfill the idea.
Yeah. And is our hapless hero just sort of wandering around trying to muddle through despite or because of his animal instincts?
Well, that's a good question. It's an album. It's not an album about getting the girl. It's an album about wanting the girl.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
We don't really know what happens after the last song. We don't know if any of his pleas finally got through. I don't know what happened. How I inhabited this character so fully. I think Bobby Jr. is a very mostly docile, kind, friendly dog, but you know, dogs go crazy sometimes, and one evening I was petting him and he bit me, and I think there's something in me now. I think I'm part wolf.
Wow. So this transformation is not just for the sake of songwriting, it sounds like. Well, certainly, some of the stellar werewolf sounds here on Prize Fighter and Fresh Blood, I mean, it sounds like, yeah, maybe there is a bit of
a human couldn't do that.
No. A real hombre lobo, really. That's kind of his province.
Yeah.
So, let me let our listeners know, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with the Eel singer-songwriter E. The band's new album is Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire. E, certainly, I mean, Hombre Lobo, hardly represents your first foray into animal themes or imagery. Indeed, if you look at the eel's body of work, if I may use that phrase, it's laced with animal songs, both real and metaphorical. Is that because animals and animal imagery sort of provide you a wider vista of possibilities as a songwriter, or does it have more to do with, as you've noted a couple times already, your personal fondness for and fascination with animals, specifically Bobby Jr., who lives with you, or is it sort of both? Or?
Well, I liked the challenge of it. Like, it seemed kind of outlandish when I first thought of this idea that I would write songs from this character's point of view, and I thought, boy, that sounds like a real challenge. And it also occurred to me that something that was missing in so-called indie rock these days was the feeling of, like, sex and danger, and that seemed like a great challenge, too, to try to bring some of that back into rock and roll, which was what the term originally meant, I thought.
Right.
And somehow we lost all that, and I thought, oh, let's bring that back. You know, I thought this would, in this climate, I thought it would be interesting to try to do some of that when knowing that it might be a tough pill for some people to swallow, you know, in this age of earnest rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, just people getting their...
Try to rock a little.
Right, so just people sort of getting their hands a little dirtier, as it were, with some other more primal, which again is sort of what rock and roll began as and has been off and on from the get go. But and then I guess beyond just Hombre Lobo, but again, sort of looking back a little bit more from past, songs that are sort of laced throughout your work. I mean, it does seem like there's animal songs, there's animal imagery. And if I'm not mistaken, I Like Birds, sort of a signature Eels tune, was written as kind of a sweet nod to your late mother, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. After my mother died, I cleaned out her house in Virginia and brought back a bunch of her stuff, her bird books and her bird bath I set up in my backyard as a way to stay connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
I do tend to have animals popping up in my songs, I guess. A lot of it is because my studio is downstairs, and the windows look out on my backyard, and I have a nice big, forested backyard, and I probably just look out there for ideas, and there's always some animals.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just started, you know, not really catalog them, but as I started to think about them, I mean, and I guess when I was sort of maybe first struck by this was even on Daisies of the Galaxy. Of course, I like birds that we just talked about there, but, you know, some other things along those lines perhaps would be fly swatter tiger in my tank, and then, you know, I really started just looking, and, you know, dog face boy, which, just to back up to Hombre Lobo a bit, is there a line between dog face boy, Hombre Lobo, and possibly Lone Wolf on the Shootin' Annie album?
Well, there's definitely a line between Dogface Boy and this new album. In my mind, it was that boy from our 2001 album,
mm-hmm.
Backer, who is now grown up, and here's what he's like. He's checking in with us as an adult.
So this is a progress report on the Dogface Boy.
It's a progress report, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it would be interesting to do that. I've never revisited it. A character from an old song, particularly one that was a child at the time, and
yeah,
see what he's like.
Cool.
Years
so that,
later.
So I guess hopefully some years down the road we'll maybe check in with this fellow again. But
yeah, we'll have Grandpa Wolf.
Of course, inevitably, and as part of this kind of conversation, I mean, to what extent does My Beloved Monster, which I think a lot of people would know from various ways, including, of course, the movie Shrek. Does that fit into at least to the overall conversation of the kind of songs that sometimes, you know, pop up in your work?
Well, you know, I guess My Beloved Monster, not really an animal song exactly.
Right.
Monsters, you know,
right.
what category do they go in? I'm not sure.
Probably their own category. Yeah,
actually, that probably goes into the same category as a werewolf. Werewolf's not technically an animal or a human.
Yeah.
Maybe I write more monster songs than actual animal songs.
Uh-oh. You're stepping right on my whole premise here. Yeah, I think we might have to switch.
Do you have a monster show I can be on?
Yeah, that's on. It's at noon, the 9 o'clock your time. We'll just talk further then. But, well, let's talk more about Bobby Jr. then, because we have touched on him a little bit. And again, just for listeners who might not be all that familiar with him, when and how did he enter the E household?
I got him at the Pound about 6 years ago, and I'd made a conscious decision to get a dog, and I went to several Pounds several times, and all the dogs were the same. They were all big, obnoxious, barking like crazy, like kind of dog that didn't say take me home.
Mm.
And then finally I went one more time to a Pound, and it was the same thing, all the obnoxious, crazy, barking dogs, and there was one dog sitting right up front behind the gate, and he was just looking at me and he, as if to say, hey, what's going on? He was very laid back. I took him out for a test drive. They let me walk him around the block, you know, just to see how we got along, and it was obvious that it was on.
Mm-hmm.
I just took him home right then and there.
Cool. And once you adopted him that day, what were the chief ways then that he changed your life? Because I really get the sense, all kidding aside, that it was kind of profound, actually.
Well, I got to say, he's an amazing dog because he really grew up on the street. He really was a homeless dog.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because the moment he walked in my house, he peed on the kitchen floor. He'd never been house trained.
Old habits die hard. Yeah.
Yeah, and but I taught him how to do that in the yard instead, and he got it within a day, and he's become a very sophisticated. He's one of those dogs that, you know, way too spoiled and way too human, and. He's definitely the alpha dog,
mm-hmm.
in the house, which is, you know, what you're not supposed to do if you watch, like, The Dog Whisperer.
Yeah.
I do everything wrong.
I see. Okay.
And he's got me on the leash.
I'm sure. So he's in charge.
Yeah.
And to what extent, really, does he and has he since that day kind of served as, you know, sort of a muse, really?
Biting me and getting some sort of canine blood into my system. Apparently, I'm about to do a series of blood tests to find out just how serious this is. But I think that had a lot to do with making an album called Hombre Lobo.
Yeah. But also, I think, weren't there even songs and other Eels projects that might, you know, bear his stamp in one way
or
another?
Well, I mean, he's always there when we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
He's a constant presence on everything we've recorded since we got him. And he is always, he's part hound dog. He's half Basset Hound, so he tends to want to sing along to certain sounds. And so he's always trying to become part of the act in the studio. And he made his recording debut officially on the Blinking Lights album. He did the solo on the song called Last Time We Spoke.
Yeah.
And ever since then, the fame has really gone to his head, and he's always trying to get on every song. And he tried desperately to get on some of the songs on Hombre Lobo. And in the end, we just felt like, oh, you know.
Too much dog?
Well, yeah, I just felt like this is my album, you know. You got your own thing going on.
Back off. Yeah.
You know, maybe he'll do a solo album or whatever, and maybe I'll help him on that. But there's actually a documentary on the making of this album. If you buy the CD and you put it in your computer, it shows you this 30-minute documentary, and you can see Bobby Jr. singing along and trying to get on the album.
Well, he is persistent in that way, and also, even just as I mentioned at the beginning of the of our conversation here, he does have his own MySpace. I mean, again, just generally, if people want to go to eelstheband.com, the really great and pretty deep, rich website, that'll take you also to a section on Bobby Jr. and his website, and I mean, his MySpace. And there's at least, I think, two or three new videos hooked to Hombre Lobo on that side, and at least one or two, maybe all of them, that he's actually in.
I think he's managed to weasel himself into all of the new videos.
Yeah. So I see what you mean. He is kind of elbowing his way to the front of the camera and the mic, I guess, when he can.
The alpha dog.
That's it. Well, E, we're sort of nearing the end of our time here, but I guess just sort of more generally, I just, you know, can't help but wonder what your plans might be for, if any, behind touring behind Hombre Lobo, and if there is, whenever there's going to be the next tour, if I may put a plug in for myself and other Florida fans to actually include a Florida date.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Florida, why we rarely go there.
Yeah, it seems like you get to Atlanta and then you just make a hard turn.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know why that happens. I guess, I mean, we just go where we're invited to, so it's up to you to.
Well, I'm officially inviting you on the behalf of various Floridians. So, but more seriously though, is there? I know you toured so hard and so much between the last, you know, Blinking Lights album, et cetera, that I don't know if you're ready to take that on or.
Yeah, not at the moment, but you know, that could change at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and one last time I want to let people know this is Talking Animals. We're in the final moments of speaking with E, singer-songwriter of the band Eels, whose new album is Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire. And I think I saw a comment you made last week in the wake of Michael Jackson's passing. I mean, anything more you'd like to say about him or his music or anything here?
Well, you know, he was a great inspiration as a genuine weirdo of pop music. I think of myself as just a watered-down version of him, really. You know, he had bubbles. I have Bobby Jr. Everything he did was much more extreme than anything I could do.
Sure. And speaking of Bobby Jr., I just have an email here, and we're not really incorporating questions today for today's interview, but I just want to read this to you because this is a nice email. The subject line is, great guest, and says, love this story of the meeting with Bobby Jr. Thanks for inspiring people to go out and meet a cool dog for themselves at a pound or shelter. So.
Yeah, and I should also say that, you know, the big, loud, obnoxious dogs at the pound, they're not for me, but, you know, if you're a certain personality, that could be a great dog for you, too.
Sure, absolutely. All right, E, well, I guess the only other thing, you know, that I feel somewhat incumbent to ask about, I'm sure you're already sick of talking about it, though, is the beard. And
yeah.
Because when we spoke last year or so ago, it was in the wake of the memoir coming out, and you tell a great story in there about being sort of nervous to meet one of your heroes, Neil Young, and so when you finally do, you're kind of shy and nervous, and you just say, you know, I love your beard, And I guess now people have been saying that to you ever since. But are they saying it more or in a different way? Because I think since that time, your beard has certainly taken on a whole new dimension, I guess.
I do get a lot of I like your beard comments mm-hmm. now. But it's never, when someone says it to me, I don't think it's ever been as embarrassing as when I said it to Neil Young. Because the way I said it to Neil Young, the first thing I said to him when I met him and my voice cracked, I said it like, I like your beard. Instead of just, how do you do?
Right.
I mean, you.
Right. So, yeah, you can't really duplicate that. Just,
everyone that's ever said it to me seemed much more dignified.
Right. And it's just a little more sort of contrived, I guess, at this point. So, but are you, is this baby just going to keep growing, or is there, you just feel like, hey, I just want my beard to go longer and longer, or?
Well, when you've gone this far with it, it's
yeah,
it's
no turning back.
Think about getting rid of it.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work. There's a lot of maintenance involved. It's the first time I ever had to own a blow dryer in my life.
Wow.
But, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not ready to get rid of it just yet.
Sure. Cool. Keep going. That's all I can say. Well, thank you very much for making the time again at this hour, L.A. time, to speak with us on Talking Animals. The new album is Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire. Great, great album. And the website for all kinds of information. As soon as you go there, actually, they start streaming some of Hombre Lobo. It's eelstheband.com. So, thanks again for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to play Name That Animal Tune. There'll be a prize, a limited edition Talking Animals baseball cap to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Yeah, and I'm a tone cat and lose my kitten. Scratching around your window pane. Yeah, you know my tongue can't use my kitten. And I've been scratching around your window pane. Let me in, let me in, baby.
All right, we just about have reached the end of today's edition. I'm Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month, so we'll return next Wednesday, July 8th, where our guest will be animal communicator Sue Pike, which is going to be very, very cool. She does communicate with animals and does all kinds of things, and in preparation for that, she's going to talk with one of our animals, so we'll be able to draw on that for next week's conversation. So again, that's next Wednesday, July 8th. On Talking Animals right here at 11:30 a.m. And we'll definitely be talking animals on that show. I hope you'll join me then. I want to just quickly make reference to one other thing that I don't know probably as much about as I should, but I know there was a story in the last couple nights on Bay News 9 about this guy, Keith Wendell, who's been taking in rescue dogs, taking in so many he can't really afford to care for all of them, and there's sort of a long, involved story there, but just please go to buddiesrescue.org to find out more and to find out ways that you can help him help these dogs and keep them fed and everything kind of going in the way that he's been kind enough to do. So, with that, thanks very much. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're going to close out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This song, not only written by our guest, E, but one that we discussed in a little bit of detail a few minutes ago. This is the Eels with I Like Birds on WMNF Tampa. And again, we'll be back next Wednesday, July 8th at 11:30 a.m. with animal communicator Sue Pike. Happy 4th of July, and we'll talk to you then. This is the Eels on Talking Animals.
I can't look at the rocket launch, the trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds. I don't care for walking downtown, crazy auto car gonna
It is 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. Coming up shortly, 5 minutes of NPR news, then Democracy Now, and probably a traffic report somewhere in between those 2 points. So that, again, was Eel, the Eels singer-songwriter. E is our guest there on Talking Animals, and we want to thank him for joining us.